Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we continue to bring you this Suffer Well devotional series that we read here every day. And I want to read the devotional, and then I want to discuss this, and this is a very important moment. So a lot of the things I say, many of my listeners are in agreement with. I will submit to you that if you agree with everything you say, somebody says when you hear a lecture, that is one of the worst lectures that you ever heard. You might leave that lecture thinking, that was wonderful. Or if you hear a teaching on the radio, you might think, that was great. I loved it. I agree with everything. If you agree with everything the speaker says, you have learned nothing. It's when you disagree that you can get a chance to grow and learn new things. So I'm pleased that people are opening their eyes and understanding the truth about Scripture. And it's a wonderful thing. But I want us to challenge ourselves and not just seek out people that we agree with, but let's get challenged by people we don't agree with, see what they're saying, test it up to Scripture, and give ourselves an opportunity to grow. And I give you that introduction today because I am going to say some things that many people may not believe, or they may not come to reality of what's going on in their lives. And no matter where you are in your life, before we read today, I want to remind us, we are all unworthy, undeserving of the great gift that Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, gave us and did what he did for us. So we have to remind ourselves of that daily, that we're unworthy of it. And everything we got is much more than we deserve. And as we think about that, we're going to look this morning at sin, or this day at sin, depending where you're listening from. We're going to look at sin. We need to define sin much more, because sin shouldn't only be defined as it's something that goes against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Let's take a deeper look at it. And let's start off right now with looking at our devotional this morning and reading it. And it's called Repent and Believe. Repent and rejoice. And it starts over the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and that scripture says, But we have the mind of Yeshua. What do you envision when you think about Jericho? You see a bunch of radical Israelites marching around the walls, and maybe you even hear them shouting as the walls crumble after the seventh day. Now I want you to envision the walls of your mind tumbling down. Yes, my child, it's all in your head. Sin is birthed in the mind before it manifests in the flesh. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James 1:14-15. If you continue to entertain sin, Yahweh will give you up to uncleanness in the lust of your heart, Romans 1:24. And giving you over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, Romans 1:28. Before this happens, you must allow the strongholds of your mind, the walls that keep you bound, to be torn down. If not, it is as if you know the Almighty, but do not glorify Him as the Almighty, nor are you thankful, and so you become fertile in your thoughts, and your foolish heart becomes darkened, Romans 1:21. You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. And can you do this? Here are three principal steps. Here are three of the steps of how to accomplish this. Number one, acknowledge that you do not believe and obey all that I say. Repent and ask for healing. Number two, take every thought captive and ask yourself, does this thought reflect total trust in Yahweh? Number three, recognize that the battle is spiritual and that the physical is merely a manifestation of thoughts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Almighty, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. The weapons to tear down the walls of your mind are mighty in Yahweh. You must simply believe it. When your thoughts come into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, joy will be your strength. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Yes, that's correct. When you need strength, rejoice in Him. Take every thought captive. Filter every activity in your mind through Yeshua's life and resurrection. His life is a display of Yahweh's power. And access to the power will come in every situation as you meditate on His resurrection. Complete mind renewal through the other shedding of the self. The walls of Jericho, the carnal voice within, must come down. Believe it. This is a pattern. It can be no other way. Enough said. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Matthew 11:30. For the only problem is unbelief. Repent and return. Repent and live. Repent and believe. And repent and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we're looking at this idea and this understanding, we need to understand sin. We need to get a better understanding of sin, to understand what it is and how it just takes over. We live in a world today where so many people are worried about this contagious virus that's out there. Well, I tell you, sin is more contagious than anything we could ever imagine. But people don't fear sin, and that's the problem. People want to run from contagious people. They want to protect themselves from getting any virus or germs, but people aren't running from sinful people, and they're not protecting themselves from sin. And if you think sin is not contagious, you are deceived. Very deceived. Sin is very contagious, and it takes over us. It takes over our bodies and will destroy you quicker than any physical virus you could ever imagine. And this is what's happening out there today. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers ever, says, as the salt flavors every drop of the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. It is so sadly there, so abundantly there, that if you cannot detect it, you are deceived. So we're going to look at this and see a little bit about sin. It says in Galatians 5:19-21, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lawlessness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousness, outbursts, wrath, self-ambitions. It goes on. Envy, murderers, drunkards, revilers, and of the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Those who practice, to make a practice, that means daily doing these things. Galatians 6:9 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. James 4:17 says, therefore, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. When we read the word, when we understand the word, we understand what good is according to our Creator. And what's right according to our Creator, that's righteousness. And anything against that, to him, it is sin. It is sin. We must learn to hate sin. We must learn that. But this is something we struggle with. This is something we struggle with. And I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, the set-apart Spirit, will never let us feel good about living in sin. And many people are deceived because they're living in sin, but they have no conviction of it. And they think they have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never make you feel good about living in sin. It says in the scripture, Hosea, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. We all have knowledge, but what they're saying is lack of knowledge of me. People don't have lack of knowledge of sin and what it is, so they don't know when they're sinning. Or at least they do know and they don't want to admit it. But we have to come to a conclusion. We have to admit it. We have to acknowledge where we truly are and who we truly are. Romans 7:15-18 says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not want what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. When you have the mind of Yeshua, you're not in this situation. But we struggle with this thing. And when we live in the flesh, we run into this problem. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And the warning that's given in 1 John 2:15-16 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. I think about Job when he says, the words of your mouth are more important than my necessary food. The Bible's more important than his life, his necessary sustenance, his life. And then I look around today and I see what's going on, and people value their phones more than they do their Bible. People value, they know the songs of the secular songs more than they know the Psalms of Scripture. They know the characters of Hollywood and more than they know the characters in Scripture. And we think about what is an idol in our life. We have to understand whether we do these things on purpose or not, there's consequences to sin. And we have to acknowledge that we all deserve those consequences. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So anything above that is a great gift that we don't deserve. But we're called in Scripture in Colossians 3 verses 5 and 6 to put to death the sinful and earthly things lurking in us. To put them to death, to move beyond them. Romans 6:22 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of Yahweh is eternal in Yeshua, our Messiah, who died for us and took that penalty for us, that consequence for us. You know, and we have to be free from being a slave to sin. See, people today will fight so much and so hard today not to be a slave, and they're so against slavery, and they're so against the idea of slavery, but they continue to commit themselves to be slaves to sin. They must have that same passion not to be a slave of man, not to be a slave of sin, not to let sin rule you or control you. But this is what's happening. This is what's happening. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Then he will not hear. When we look at all the sins, and we look at how Yahweh, our creator, will forgive us of our sins, but we first must confess our sins, and he is faithful. He is faithful, but we struggle. We must realize about the struggle. We must realize and understand the struggle that it is, and come to the truth about this, and understand this more clearly. Then we could acknowledge. Then we could take every thought captive. And then we could recognize this spiritual battle that's going on is far way beyond our own battle. But we must seek the freedom of the power of sin. As it says in Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, we know that our old self was crucified in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. We were able to deny ourselves and die with Yeshua so we could be raised up with Yeshua. We understand that he set us free. And in his truth, we'll be free indeed. Now let's look at a couple of things here. Because we think about sin and we think about the physical idea of sin. And okay, we know all these things that are what a call sin is. But let's look at a sin that's really more contagious. a sin that's even a deeper level than doing something wrong. And this is the one that Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, came to really discuss. Because you had a bunch of Pharisees that were keeping the Torah, the guidelines and instructions and the commands, but they did it with the wrong attitude, with the wrong heart. And I am telling you, the sin of our physical bodies is one thing, but it stirs up in the heart. That's where it begins. That's where it manifests. That's the root of it. And if you want to stop the sin, you must destroy the root. You must destroy the root. When we become believers in Yeshua, when our heart is pierced, we're no longer going to desire to have the temptation or do the things that go against the words of our Creator. But we must destroy the root, the heart issue. The heart issue, we must destroy it. We struggle with these sinful thoughts and desires and habits all the time because our heart is not put in the right place. We must understand His love for us and what He did for us. Luke 10:27 says, "Love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." These are the things that Yeshua tried to teach people. It wasn't about doing this and not doing that. It was about the love in our heart. But we struggle with these things. And I'm going to tell you some things right now that many of us struggle with on a regular basis. And this is gets down to the root core of what we need to do to recognize this battle that we have to overcome it. The first one is the struggle that we have with pride. That we have a pride. Why do we do the things we do in our lives? Why do we say the things we do? Why are we so quick to tell people about our lives and about all the things going on in our lives? Why do we want to look a certain way? Why do we stand the way we do and all the things that we do? Pride, pride. Many of these things we do in our lives are done out of pride. Our Creator calls us to humility. And even though we might have humility on the outside, He wants our hearts not to have pride. He wants our hearts to be humble. You know, we need to think about this when we speak and when we live our lives and when we get up and what we do with our lives. Do we desire to show people how much we know and our wisdom? When we dress, do we desire to dress to please the world and for the world to exalt us? Or do we desire to dress modestly and not care what other people think? We think about this prideful nature that people have today and all this stuff that overtakes them. Do we go outside to be noticed? Do we speak up to be shown? Or are we humble? Are we humble? Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the heart." We must have a pierced heart, a convicted heart, a circumcised heart. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "This is what Yahweh says. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am Yahweh who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares Yahweh." So that's the first one, is the pride. The pride. Then we look at the covetousness in our hearts. The covetousness in our hearts. Are we always seeking to covet new things? We always dream about having more and having more things. And is the fruit in our life humbleness and meekness, or are we seeking to get more, bigger houses and more cars and all this stuff? Where is our covetousness? Where does that lie? This is a sin of the heart that many of us struggle with. John 12:5-6 says, "Why wasn't this perfume sold as the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. And Luke 16:14 says the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and scoffing at him. And Exodus 20:17 says, "You should not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything else that is your neighbor's." We must be humble. We must understand and admit the sin of the heart of covetousness that Yeshua warns us against. You see, it goes more than what we do. It's our heart and what we think. And then the next one is glorifying ourselves. Another sin of the heart we must overcome that so many of us struggle with all the time is glorifying ourselves. All the glory should be Yahweh. You know, but we got to think about this when we boast about all the things we've done and boast about all the things we have and boast about everything. Are we giving the glory to Yahweh? All of it to Yahweh. 100% is loving him with all our heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whenever you drink, whatever you do, do everything for Yahweh's glory. Yahweh's glory. And then we think about the selfishness of man today, another sin of the heart. The selfishness of man. It says in the second commandment, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we think about the selfishness. Are we putting them before us? Are we aligned with his scripture when we think about the things we do? Proverbs 23:7 says, for he is the kind person who is always thinking about the cost, eating and drinking. He says to you, but his heart is not with you. We need to understand about the selfishness that the enemy wants us to walk in. And then we look at another sin of the heart is the anger. The anger that so many let overtake their lives. Yahweh sees unrighteous anger in our heart. He sees the evil thoughts we have against our closest friends and our family members. When we look at that, it says in Genesis 4, verse 4 and 5, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions of some of the firstborn of his flocks. Yahweh looked with favor on Abel and on his offering. But Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry with him. And face was downcast. Luke 15, 27, 28 says, your brother has come, and he's replied, your father has killed the fattened calf before me is safe and sound. And the old elder became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. Anger is another sin of the heart. And then we look at lust in the heart. Lust in the heart. So many people today struggle with lust and they're not willing to admit it. And lust is where Satan seeks to attack us the most. We have to discipline ourselves with what we watch, where we go, what we listen to. When this sin is not controlled, the heart leads to all the common things that are done today. Pornographic, fornication, and leading to other things that are so prevalent today. Adultery and rape. And all these other things, it all stirs up in the heart. And this is serious, and we must take it seriously. Matthew 5:28 says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with his heart. We got to get hold of these things and understand the heart can be the root of all evil. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say I've kept my heart pure? I am clean without sin. Mark 7:21 says, for it is from whom within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, thief, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Genesis 6:5 says, Yahweh saw the wickedness of man and every intention and thought of his heart was evil. So we see this. We must make every effort to control the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to understand it all stems from the heart. Psalms 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Yahweh, and try me, and test my mind and my heart. And John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us and sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many of us are going to have struggles. Struggles with the sin in our lives and the temptation that happens in our lives. We're going to have struggles with these things, but we must understand that Yahweh says, I take no joy in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. The answer to all our struggles in Romans 7:25 says, thanks be to Yahweh who delivers me through Yeshua, our Messiah. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to Yahweh's commandments. But in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Yeshua, Messiah. All our hope needs to be in Yeshua. All our hope needs to be in Yeshua. Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me the willingness of the Spirit to sustain me. We must understand this. It's all about Yeshua. Romans 13:14 says, put on Yeshua our Messiah and make no plans to satisfy the fleshly desires. But it's a spiritual battle that's happening. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Only through the word of Yahweh and through Yeshua can we overcome these things. Remember, we must acknowledge, take every thought captive, acknowledge and repent, take every thought captive, and recognize this battle, that it's a spiritual battle. And just run to Yahweh and understand that he is our shield with our faith. He is the shield of faith. He is the belt of truth. He is the righteousness, and he gives us his word to show us these things. This journey that we're on, we must run from sin. We must hate sin. Love what he loves and hate what he loves. And that only comes with a circumcised heart. But test everything. Test everything. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called, and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this day you have made. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will hold on to you my righteousness with my righteous right hand. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Thank you for listening today, everybody. May Yahweh be with you this day and always. Until then, everybody, have a blessed day and stay strong. Shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I